Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Okay, let's just pray and we'll quiet down, then we can get into God's word tonight. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place, fill my words. Mostly touch our hearts that we can hear what you're saying tonight. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We had a question and answer period today. It was pretty cool. We had like three guys and three girls. And oh my gosh, I was like just loving it. I was like, some of the things they were saying, I was like, you're teaching me. It was awesome. So if you have any more questions and stuff, feel free to stop me and talk to me. If you're struggling with what I'm saying, I mean, a few of the guys were like, I didn't quite get what you're saying, but the more I listen, it's like God's opened my heart up, and so that's what happened to me. Like, I just started hearing that pure gospel of grace, and I had been so much, I keep repeating myself, but so much on this treadmill of works and religion, and it's so much better. That's why I'm here to tell you, the gospel of grace living on the inside of you, and you resting in that is so much better, and it's wonderful, it's beautiful. So today we're going to go on to the fifth chapter of James, and it's about money, 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 money. Anybody rich here? Is anybody rich, got lots of money? Somehow I don't, we have a lot of rich people in here. Hey, if you want to get rich, probably don't do ministry, okay? Okay, let's read this. Look here. Now remember, James is talking to the church, right? He's talking to brethren. That's how the whole book started. So sometimes you read this and you think, oh yeah, this is for the rich people. We can just kick them under the bus, right? But it's actually talking to the church because they started to trust more in money and riches and wealth and not in Christ, in him crucified, and in the wonderful work of grace. So James says, look here, you rich people. This is pretty harsh. Weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible troubles ahead of you. Your wealth is rotting away, and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and silver are corroded. The very wealth you were counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. That's pretty harsh. I mean, you know, sometimes you hear this stuff and it's like scares you, like am I afraid to have money? I don't think that's what James is talking about. Like, you know, rich people can go to heaven and poor people can go to heaven. It doesn't matter. You can still have money and you can still love the Lord and be saved. But you could be poor and be saved. But oftentimes with wealth, and if you've been around rich people, oftentimes it's a little bit harder, and you'll see here, it's harder to trust in the Lord because money pretty much can give you everything. But it's kind of a lie, and that's what James is talking about, that the church began to trust in wealth, in money. And you think, because you see it on internet all the time, right? You guys watch Instagram, you watch whatever, and you see, oh, if I could only have that, right? If I could only have the lake house and the boat. If I could only have the nice clothes that girl's got. Or if I could only have, right? If I could only be the athlete like that guy. If I could only be the rock star like that guy, right? And so you think money's going to buy that, and it doesn't. I remember my brother, he played in the NHL for the St. Louis Blues, and I remember meeting some of these guys, and they were rich. Like, they make a lot of money. And I remember meeting them, and they were just as broken as everyone else. And he often said, too, they were more unhappy than most of the people he knew, even though they were famous, popular, and had a ton of money. It never brings you fulfillment in life. It won't. The only thing that does is Jesus Christ. He's the only thing that fills you. And so today, I wanted to talk about this. This is the title today. It's you know, the deceitfulness of riches, it can deceive you. And you think that it'll fulfill you, and it won't. And these verses are pretty harsh. I mean, look at the last one. The very wealth you were counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. So it's really talking about the church, you and me, depending on something other than what Christ did at the cross. And here he's showing money can be that. But it can be anything. You know? I mean, it can be anything. And I want to go to another story in the Bible, the story of the rich young ruler. And I want it to help explain what James is talking about in this passage. So now I want to go to the rich young ruler. Now, this is a beautiful story. I hope you'll stay with me. It's a little bit long. It's an amazing story full of the gospel, of grace, and it's also full of works and law, what I've been talking about all week. So once a religious leader asked Jesus this question, "Good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" So I want to stop there before we go on, because here you find really what's in our heart. What can I do? What should I do? Can you all say do? That's what we ask. What should I do? And right away, Jesus is like, okay, boys, you want to go down this path? We'll go down this path. See, because Jesus was going around saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Anyone, if you want to come to the Father, you can come through me. It's not by works. It's by me. And here comes this rich young ruler, and he says, what should I do? Everybody say do. And Jesus saw what he's looking for. He's looking for something to do, to hold in his hands. And that God will say, oh, come on in, look what you've done. And this story is so great because it's talking about someone who's not saved, and it's also talking about you and me as Christians. What do I do to live a Christian life? And Jesus doesn't mess around. He says, okay, if you want to know what to do, you want to play that game with me, right? If you want to go that route, I can play it. And here we go. You ready? You want to know what to do? Okay. He says, why do you call me good? Jesus asked him, only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you ready? You want to know what you want to do? If you want to do something to get into heaven, here we go. He says, he takes him to the commandments, the Ten Commandments. And he says, you must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely or lie. Honor your father and mother. And the man said, I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young. Don't you see this here? This is like a good Christian guy, eh? Good Christian boy in church. I've done them all. Look at me. Okay, Jesus says, well, there's still one thing you haven't done. And he's like, tell me. It's just like all of us. Tell me. I can do it. Tell me. And Jesus says, okay, now we'll go a little closer to the heart. And he says, sell all your possessions. Oh, he says, there's still one thing you haven't done. Sell all your possessions and give all the money to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. So he must have hit the golden calf in his heart, because then the man heard this. But when the man heard this, he became very sad, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw this, he said, How hard it is for the rich to enter into the kingdom of God. In fact, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of God. And those who heard it said, then who in the world can be saved? Jesus made it seemed hard. And he replied, what is impossible for people is possible for God. And I want that to stay up there, because here comes the gospel. Like, you can just see it right here. What do I got to do? What do I got to do? Some of you guys are asking that right in your chat, in your devos, and you're asking the question, what do I got to do to be closer to God? What do I got to do? If you want to go down the to-do list, Jesus will lay up a lot of commands, and you know what? You'll probably go, got it, doing it, and then you're going to find one, no, and you've failed, and you can't get in that way. The only way you get in is by faith and grace in what Christ did at the cross. And so today, he made it so, for this man, he was wealthy, and he couldn't do it. It's such a picture of us as Christians and people. What can I do? What can I bring in my hands before God and say, look at me? Look at, I've been reading the Bible a lot. I've been praying a lot. I've been going to church a lot. I've been doing a lot for you. It's not enough. You see, when God, I keep saying this, God so loved the world so much that he gave his only son. God didn't love the world so much that he told you to read the Bible more or pray more or do better things or give all your money to the poor. That's not the gospel. God so loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. I'm giving you words to absolutely free you tonight and save you, that your faith will not be based on you, but it will be based upon what Christ did at the cross. That's, if you want to be free tonight, that's the one thing that will make you completely free. I had some of these boys up here today talking about this wonderful truth, and they said things like, I can't believe when you first start talking about the cross, I didn't get it. But it seemed like it started to come and started to see the scriptures flipping. Like instead of it focusing on what I got to do, it was actually flipping to what Christ had done and for his amazing grace in my life. And the focus is now becoming Christ instead of me. Now you found something that can make you free. Amen? And so today, you might say, well, they asked, well, then who can be saved? Well, what is impossible for people is possible with God. And so today, you can't be saved by what you do. It's impossible. But you can be saved with God, with what he's provided 2,000 years ago. It's very possible. And today, you might be asking, well, how is it possible to live for God the right way? Well, it's impossible with you. Oh, but it's so possible with God, with the Holy Spirit shining a light on what Christ has done at the cross. Shining a light today, I pray, this is my prayer for you, that as you go in your devos and you read your Bible and your personal life, that it'll happen for you like it's happened to me, and it can happen to any of you, and it will, that the Holy Spirit shines a light on verses and they flip from what must I do to what has God done for me. I tell you, the Bible starts to fit together like a puzzle. It's like, oh, that works. That makes sense. It's not about me, it's about him. It's not about me, it's about him. Every story in the Old Testament, it's not about you, it's about Christ coming for you. Why do we call him a savior? He saves you from hell. He saves you from your sins. And to the Christian today, he saves you from yourself. Glory to God. You save me from myself. You're your biggest enemy. You just want to work, and God says, sit down and I'll provide. You just want to work, and he says, sit down and I'll give it to you. You just want to work, and he says, sit down and I'll bless you. And and it's just a constant struggle for all of your life. I just want to do, and he says, sit down and let me show you how amazing I am again and again. And again, do you know that's all God wants to do in your life? Sit down. I want to show you how amazing I am. Now you got a testimony in your heart. Jesus. Does that make sense? Why don't you just sit down today? And it's what he's saying. And let me show you how wonderful I am. And how much I love you. I always tell these hockey players, when they come to my hockey chapels, I say, you know, what's the difference between a gift or something you work for? And maybe this little analogy will help you. You know, it's like if I've got, you know, something to give you guys today, like let's just say I'm going to give you my phone, right? I'm going to give you my phone. I don't know if you want this old phone, but if I'm going to give you my phone and I say to Max, Max, I'm going to give you my phone today as a gift, okay? Okay, and I said, Max, I'm going to give it to you, but first I want you to get down there and I want you to give me 10 real good push-ups, okay? Do you think we get Max to give us good 10 real good push-ups? Okay, let's see you, Max. Come on, let's go here. Can you do it? I know he's got a hurt finger. Max has got a sore finger from playing. Yeah. Okay, here we go, Max. There we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Oh, 11. Oh. Those were good. So, okay. So, Max hurt his finger playing guitar. It was bleeding. Is it okay?
Oh, it's there.
Okay. So, Max, I want to ask you a question, right? Like, would this be a gift when you had to do the push-ups for it? Or did you have to do something for the...
Yeah.
What'd you have to do?
I had to do push-ups.
And I said 10, you did 11.
Oh, I thought I did 10.
So do you see my point? He had to do something to receive the gift, right? So, like, what happens if I just say, I'd like to give you this phone, and you just open up your hand? Do you see the difference? Did you have to do anything for it? What'd you do? Just open your hand up? He just said, I just accepted it. Do you see the difference? When does the gospel ever change from that, ever? It doesn't. So Max, that was no gift. He had to get, I mean, he's good at push-ups, but he had to go down there and do it for me. Then I say, I give it to him. The gospel's not like that, and it never will be, and it never should be, and it should never be preached that way. It's not the gospel then. It's not good news, right? Is it not called a gift? You know, this wonderful gospel, is it not called a gift? Last time I checked, it's called a gift. And every time I checked, it's called a gift. And every time I look at the cross, it's a gift. And it never stops and it never will. The only thing that changes it is religion. When you start hearing something that you've got to do. Why don't we start trusting in the power of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, that you can sit down and receive all that he has for you, all the blessing he has for you, all the goodness he has for you. And how do you get it? Simply by just receiving it by faith and grace alone. It sometimes sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? But I believe, I've been talking to some people this week, and I can't believe how their eyes are just being opened to the good old gospel of grace. And you know what? As times change and you see certain things go out of style and this and that, this never goes out of style. You know how you guys changing clothes all the time, looking, gotta be in style? The gospel never goes out of style. The cross is never out of style. It never changes. So if you want some help in your life today, you want the real thing to change you, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful grace. Turn your eyes upon the cross and say, I'm done trying. I'm done. Like the rich young ruler, he said, what do I got to do? I could see him like this with Jesus. What do I got to do? And he's like, okay, boys, you want to go that way? It's not going to end good for you. Right? What do I got to do? I think it wasn't it you that said, quit chasing? What a great word. Quit chasing and just sit down. The chasing doesn't end good. I'd rather feel this. God chased me all the way from heaven. And you could put yourself right there. God chased me. He came out of heaven for me. If I was the only person at this camp, he'd come for me. He came for me. He chased me, and he's chasing you today, and he will never stop. And what's he trying to show you? Grace. Grace. God's amazing grace. He's not trying to show you this, work, work, work. He's trying to show you, I'm going to work, work, work in your life. Let me work, work, work in your life, and let me change, change, change your life. And all you have to do is look to the finished work of Christ, and he will tell you again and again and again that he, me, who began the good work in you, shall complete it. So today, as we end and the worship team comes up, we're going to do two songs today. And we're going to do my favorite one. Christ is my firm foundation. And I love it. Oh, yeah. And when we sing this song, you guys, do you understand what your firm foundation is? It certainly isn't your works and what you do. It's what Christ did at the cross. Christ is my... Everybody say, firm foundation.
Firm foundation.
Say it again. Say, firm foundation.
Firm foundation.
Yes. Give the Lord a hand.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.